Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
This is continuing coverage of the trial of Karen Reed from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
So, folks, we're trying to streamline the exhibit numbers. It looks like this may already be in evidence. It's one of four different numbers, so I sort of wanted to keep it with that. We are so far removed from where it was that this will just come in as the next exhibit. So you will technically have it in evidence twice.
Okay.
55.
Thank you. May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
There's one final document before you. If you can identify that for the jury, please.
Yes, this is another report generated out of Cellbrite. It's based on Ms. McCabe's cell phone data, and this lists out the call log with a number of deleted items and number of live items.
I would offer that, Your Honor.
If I get to see.
Sure.
Fine, Your Honor. I think it's already in evidence as well, but
so
actually, I confirmed it's not. It's not yet in evidence. We looked at the exhibits that were specified. So. Thank you. If you could hand that to the witness, and if I could have first page of that exhibit, okay. With regard to that exhibit, Mr. Green, what line that was unusual, if anything?
Objection.
Sustained. Ask it differently, Mr. Unetti.
Yes. What did you find of note?
Certainly. What was the time frame of the deleted records? Now, I'll just talk about this particular report here. It starts at 5:33:47 in the morning, and on the second page, we see it ends at 8:50 and 15 seconds, again, a.m. And then the normal calls, what we would call live data, then begins at 8:59 and 34 seconds and goes on throughout the day with no additional deletions.
Am I right that those are all, that's the call log, those are all phone calls?
Correct, yeah, this is the call log.
And what was the difference between the calls that were at 8:59 and after on January 29, 2022, and the call calls that were before at or before 8:50 a.m. on January 29, 2022?
Yeah, well, it's the state they were found in. Deleted versus live data.
I'm sorry?
Deleted data at the earlier time and live data after the 8:59:34.
What percentage of phone calls were found deleted on Jennifer McCabe's phone prior to 8:50 a.m. on January 29th?
All right. I have to see you. Take this down for a minute, please. I have to see counsel.
You are unmuted.
So, Mr. Green, I'm not sure if that question was clear or if you understood it. If it's not, please let me know. But I had asked you from the first recorded call there that was listed as deleted until 8:50 a.m. or so, what percentage of calls were deleted on Jen McKay's phone within that time period?
Yeah, so we found no live data, so 100% of them would have been deleted.
Now, are you aware of the term spontaneous deletion?
No, sir. I know what the individual words mean, but in relation to digital forensics, I'm not familiar with that term.
And do you have an opinion as to how those calls would have been deleted from that phone?
Those would have been used or deleted.
I may have a moment.
Sure.
No further questions. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Do you know who Ms. Jessica Hyde is?
I do.
Are you aware that she wrote a report in relation to this case?
Yes.
Specifically in regard to the Google searches for Ms. McCabe's phone that you were just talking about?
Yes, sir. It was very specific about that search.
And have you had a chance to review that report?
I have.
You also know who Ian Whiffen is?
Certainly, yes.
And are you aware that he wrote several reports or submitted several items in relation to, again, the exact topic that you're testifying about in relation to the Google searches on Ms. McCabe's phone?
Yes, sir, I understand that.
And have you had a chance to review those materials well?
Yes, sir.
You understand that they both disagree with what your opinion is in relation to those searches?
I absolutely understand that, sir.
Now, just as far as your qualifications and certifications go, I'm just having a difficult time. From the certifications that you have, at what point were you, or what, if any, certifications do you have with reference to Cellebrite as a tool as far as your use and interpretation of data from Cellebrite?
Certainly. So my certifications are much more broad. They have to do with a lot of the fundamentals and how we conduct the investigations and what tools we should know and when we need to know we need to do more work and such like that. Cellebrite, I do not have any specific Cellebrite certifications. They offer many of them. However, I have participated in, God, I can't even count, hundreds of their training events that they offer, both Cellebrite, Axiom, Belkasoff. They all provide the community with fantastic support as far as that. And although certainly a class can be very good, but you really need to stay up to speed. You've got to participate in the most recent understanding being put out there. Even in the changes of their tools will change from one version to another.
And so to the point, as far as you have no certifications in regard to Cellebrite as a tool and how to use it, those kind of things?
That's correct, sir.
And in this specific instance, at any point, did you reach out to Cellebrite to go over sort of your findings or your opinions in relation to this search?
I did.
And who, if anyone, did you speak with from Cellebrite?
As close as I can remember, I know it was Leo, and I believe it was Santos.
And do you know what part of Cellebrite they work in or what they do?
Well, he was in the technical support and contacted him. He had informed me that they had elevated this up the to some higher level technical support when they came back. His comments to me, when I hear him, was that this... Okay.
That's for his comments, but at
okay,
some point,
I understand.
You talked to technical support, is that correct?
Absolutely.
And they indicated that they would refer you to actually Mr. Whiffen's team?
No, sir, they did not.
So you weren't told that you were referred to Mr. Whiffen's team and you weren't contacted by anyone from Mr. Whiffen's team?
No, and I forget the exact date. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, out of the blue, I got an email from Mr. Whiffen saying, and I can't... I don't want to misquote them, but certainly I got an email from him.
I'm not asking you about any specific conversation
okay.
that you had. What I'm asking, and I'm asking about a time period more back in 2022.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear you.
Back in 2022, did you reach out to Cellebrite in relation to this search and your opinions related to it?
Yes, sir.
And at that point, that the point that you spoke to someone from technical support?
Yes, sir.
And at that point, did someone from technical support actually refer you or tell you that they were referring you to Mr. Whiffen's team?
No, sir. I had absolutely no idea about that.
So no one from Mr. Whiffen's team reached out to you and then you just never called them back? That didn't happen?
Not that I'm aware.
Now, you were asked to look at a couple different phones, and I'm assuming by counsel for the defendant, correct?
Can you say that once again? I'm sorry.
You were asked to look at three different phones is what testimony was, and I'm assuming
correct.
That was by some counsel for the defendant, correct? No one else asked you to look at these phones, correct?
Oh, correct. Yes, it was from the defense asked me to, yes.
And so the phones that you were asked to look at were Mr. O'Keefe's phone, the defendant's phone, and Ms. McCabe's phone, correct?
Correct.
Now, as far as Kerry Roberts' phone, were you ever asked to look at that?
No.
And with respect to the defendant's phone, was there any GPS location information or data that you observed in her phone?
So we had an indication that location had been using. There was something called Apple Map Tiles, and those probably when you use the Apple Map app, that it, in order for it to work, it will create these little tiles or little pieces of pictures, and they get stitched together to give you the view that you see on your phone. Now, for that had been working, we know location data had to be working. This particular location data, the location data cache, is known to only be present on the phone for a couple weeks. Now, what I don't know, and Mr. Lally, if I'm going too far, just please stop me. What I don't know is what measures were taken to preserve that data, whether it was put in airplane mode, whether the location services were turned off, whether it was put in a Faraday bag. And quite frankly, Mr. Lally, I don't know if they did all that, if the location data would remain or not. I've never tested that. But all indications, it would have had location data on the day that it was seized, because we see the Apple Map tile. But when I got the full extraction, there was no location data there. Now, I did observe...
So there was no okay. GPS location data on the defendant's phone, correct?
Correct.
From what you observed.
And again, if I'm... I did find deleted location data from April of 2022.
Okay. Now, with respect to the defendant's phone, did you also find deleted web history data from the afternoon of January 29th, 2022?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't observe that.
Didn't observe it, or didn't look for it?
You know, I really don't have a recollection if I specifically looked for deleted data. I don't believe I did. I don't know if I would have had to have a cause to.
Now, with reference to, you were asking a question about location accuracy within 3 feet. You did some sort of thing last night on CellHawk using that tool. Is that correct?
Certainly.
And you were asked to do that after Trooper Guarino testified yesterday. Is that correct?
I understand you testified yesterday.
And so with relation to you creating sort of that document, and that's now been marked as an exhibit, was that something that Mr. Unetti asked you in relation to Trooper Guarino's testimony yesterday?
Well, in all fairness, you need to ask Mr. Unetti. I could make an assumption here. I don't know quite. I'm not trying not to answer you, you know, but I was asked by Mr. Unetti to perform that search.
So, Mr. Lally, please be cautious.
Yes. So, Ms. Green, with respect to that 3 feet of accuracy, are you aware that what Trooper Guarino was testifying to in regard to that had absolutely nothing to do with phone applications or anything to do with data from a phone or a CellHawk or a tool or anything like that?
Now, I don't know the full extent of what Mr. Guarino would have been testifying to.
And so you're not aware that his testimony was actually in regard to reviewing a cruiser camera video from the Canton Police Department and photographs of where Mr. O'Keefe's body was and then mapping that using GS lat longitude.
Objection.
Based on that within a 3 feet accuracy.
The objection sustained. Ask it differently.
Are you aware of any of what Trooper Guarino testified to yesterday?
What you're mentioning, I may vaguely be remembering, and again, I'm not trying to not answer your question exactly. My conversation with Mr. Unetti and is 3 foot, when it comes to GPS data, can you tell 3 feet from GPS data? And no, it's not known to be that reliable, and particularly Apple location services. How that applies to the trooper's testimony, I can't say with specificity. I'm happy to opine on location data, though.
There's no question.
Okay.
I'm having a moment.
Sure.
Now, sir, with reference to Safari and deleted tabs, isn't it true that there is no way for a user to delete a tab, only to close it? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, when you close a tab, all right, you're taking it out of the active state, and it's going to an inactive state that some people could call deleted. Now, the Safari history allows you to go in delete history by certain date ranges, but you can also go into specific websites that you visited and delete those. Now, if you want me to continue, the wall file itself, you can't open up a wall file and say, oh, I want to delete that record. But functioning the phone through the user interfaces will have an effect of deleting data within that wall file.
Isn't it also true that Cellebrite uses that Red X to annotate that the record is no longer active and has covered? Incumbent upon the examiner, being you in this instance, to determine if it was actually deleted, correct?
Yes, sir. Thank you for asking.
That's all I'm asking.
Okay. All right.
Now, you stated in your affidavit, in your testimony, that you used the Sanderson SQLite or SQLite Forensic Explorer to examine the Safari tabs DB associated with the wall file log. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, in your analysis using that Sanderson Forensic Explorer, was there an indication that House Long to Die in Cold was found in the wall file?
Yes, sir.
Now, with regard to that, did you independently verify the cause of that timestamp you observed there?
Yes, sir.
Now, is it your interpretation that the timestamp means the search appeared at that time solely based on the naming of the field in the database?
No, sir.
Now, can a wall file contain items that are so new that they're not yet committed to the database?
Yes, sir. That's the purpose of it.
So the wall file holds the newest information until it's merged to the database, including additions, deletions, changes, all of those items, correct?
That is correct.
Now, according to your affidavit, the device was in active use between 2:23 a.m. and 31 a.m. And just to be clear, I'm talking about Ms. Cave's device, correct?
Correct.
And what are the searches to see at that time, and where were they?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that? I couldn't quite hear you.
What searches did you observe in that time frame, and where were they performed?
Well, there were a number of websites, including the Rainy Men exhibit that we did. There was Ozone Basketball, I believe. There were Hockermont, Smith. And I can tell you that those, similarly, the last entry with those there is the browser state DB file. It's not at the beginning. It's not at the end. And I have a couple thoughts on why that may be in regards to Ms. Hyde and Ms. Whiffen. I'm happy to share those with you.
I'm not asking you anything about that, sir.
Very good.
What I'm asking is it possible for a change request in the wall to a SQLite database pertaining to one particular field, leaving the other fields as what they were previously?
I want to answer your question as well as I can. So can you repeat that one more time?
Is it possible for a change request in the wall to a SQLite database pertaining to one particular field, leaving the other fields as what they were previously?
I'm having a little trouble answering this. So if I'm understanding correctly, The when the WAF file gets written to the database, and could that have made the change ending with this deleted record? Is that the question? I'm sorry, I want to answer you. I'm just a little lost on how you're asking it.
And the question?
Sorry?
Not understand the question.
Why don't you move on, Mr.
So is it possible that the URL field, which has the website name, was updated to the newest search while the timestamp retained the original? Is that possible?
No, not the way on this particular phone in this particular iOS, and also with the user interacted with it, that it would have been at the 227 or before. The way this very specific iOS was happening, that is consistent with all the other ones that I observed out there on the phone related to specific web searches and activity.
Is it possible that search for how long to die in the cold at 6:24 a.m. was the most recent search completed in the tab?
Well, not in that tab, but I certainly agree with you that there was a second search done at around that time.
Now, is it also possible the search that you assert took place at 2:27 and 40 seconds in the morning is the same as the search that took place at 6:24 a.m. for that same search?
Yeah, that's inconsistent with the actual data I'm seeing on this actual phone with this precise iOS version.
Now, as far as the search in Safari with the string, as far as the smotot.apple.com included, you recall that search as far as being a suggestion from Apple, from the iOS, as far as the search with how long to digest food.
Okay, I didn't hear your whole question, but I heard the last part about how long to digest food, so I can opine on that. So my feeling on that is when the how's long to die in cold was put in, that was most likely a Apple suggestion, and I've done some testing. Now, the time period I'm doing my testing, you know, is after the fact that this would have actually occurred. But as I tested that on a live phone and using a Google search, I could see that how long to digest food would come up. I also noticed the specific phrase, how long does it take to die from hypothermia? So as you do this Google search, you try to repeat what's being done. Those are two suggestions that actually came up.
And so that was something that was a suggestion and not something that was actually searched, correct?
Yeah, no, I know that's different from my affidavit from about a year and a half ago, in all fairness,
that's entirely different.
One person, right? Mr. Lally.
I'm sorry.
One person at a time.
Yes,
okay, so yeah, in fairness, I want to give you my best knowledge, as I understand it saying here today, including after my review of Mr. Whiffen and Ms. Hyde's report. So I want to do everything I can to shine as much light and clarity on this as possible. So as I repeated, you know, since that time and did the search, I would notice that is one of the things that would come up, and it would have a little picture of like a dinner plate or something like that. And there was actually a similar, if not the same, picture found in the artifacts of that phone.
So just to conclude, that's not what you said in your affidavit that was actually filed under penalty of perjury with this court, correct?
Yes, and on that day, that is what my true and proper belief was. Okay, since further testing, I have found that I now believe that that was probably an automatic one. And if I've caused you any distress, I apologize.
Haven't caused me any distress.
Okay.
What I'm asking, sir, is that that's what you filed because that's what you thought at the time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And subsequently, you've done further testing and that's shown that you were wrong, correct?
That is correct.
Now, according to your affidavit, there was a search for how long to digest food at 6:23:49 a.m. that precedes the search for how long to die in the misspelling here would be the CLKD at 6:23:51. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Now, is it possible that the how long to digest food was a predictive suggestion from Apple rather than a search entered by the user? Is that also correct?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I believe that it was, if it had picked up a earlier search from 227 of how's long to die in the cold, and then you went to retype it in, it may have then tried to give you something similar at the 6:23 and 6:24 timelines. So hopefully that answers your question.
So steps, going to Mr. O'Keefe's health data. Steps doesn't necessarily mean that someone is physically taking steps, correct?
Again, the research that's done for this is steps tend to be a very accurate artifact.
So steps cannot also be coincided with, say, movement in a car or other sort of movement of the phone as far as the health data is concerned?
Sure. Well, I did, quite some time ago, do some testing with an actual iPhone 11, the same make and model, and took a drive and tried to see if it registered steps. It did not. I sat in a chair and tried to duplicate how I thought I would walk. walk to see if it recorded steps. It did not. I took the phone from the floor to the ceiling to see if it would record a flight of stairs. It did not. The only iPhone 11, same make and model that I got, it was very consistent with me actually doing walking steps, and that was whether I had it in my shirt pocket, my pants pocket, or clipped onto my belt.
That's your testimony?
That is my testimony, yes, sir.
Now, are you familiar with GPS native locations?
Yes, sir.
And GPS native locations takes its data as far as finding latitude and longitude from a number of different sources, correct?
Well, true GPS, okay, is going to take it from the GPS network. What you may be thinking of is assisted GPS, which the iPhone uses, and that assisted GPS will try to, it kind of does a crowdsource. So it'll look at cell towers, what's in range as far as like Wi-Fis and a number of other devices to try to get you an enhanced GPS location and give you the best data possible.
So it takes GPS native locations within an Apple iOS device, takes from four different sources. Isn't that correct?
It tries to get from a variety of sources, like I just mentioned. Not all would be available.
Now, with regard, did you look at any GPS native location data with regard to Mr. O'Keefe's phone?
Yes, sir.
And would you agree then that the GPS native locations didn't record any movement of that phone after 12:25 a.m.?
12:25. You know, I would have to look at the exhibit to see what the time of that last entry was. I don't want to misstate something to you, sir.
Now, you were asked about sort of the elevation change in three floors, ascending, descending, and saying that you couldn't pinpoint a time period or within that 12:21 to 12:24 time period from the health data. Is that correct?
Correct. It happened somewhere within that time.
Could you pinpoint more specifically if you looked at the GPS native location data?
No. Well, we're talking to Apple Health and GPS location. So I'm.
You said you couldn't do it.
I'm sorry. Which one are you asking about? Please.
What I'm asking is, you said you couldn't pinpoint it within the GPS health data. What I'm asking is, if you had looked at the GPS native location data, could you give a more specific pinpoint?
Objection.
As to where Mr. O'Keefe's phone was?
I'm going to allow that.
Maybe we can see briefly.
Okay.
You are unmuted.
Now, to be clear, sir, you had indicated earlier in your testimony that the elevation change from 12:21 to 12:24, you could not pinpoint where in that time period, or specifically where in that time period the elevation change occurred, correct?
That's correct. It's a time range, yes, sir.
So what I'm asking is, had you looked at that in the GPS native location data, would you have been able to more accurately or specifically pinpoint when that occurred?
Okay. So the location, are you looking for a yes or no? I'm sorry.
Yes or no.
There was location data within that time period. Okay.
And are you aware that Mr. O'Keefe's phone from the GPS native location data was actually a half mile away from 34 Fairview Road at the time that it made those recordings in the GPS Apple Health data?
Right, yes. I understand he was using Waze and it had made that recording. I understand that. That's why the finding that 3 minute and 1 second offset brings into serious doubt if that time was accurate. And when you apply that to the location offset, then the Apple Health data and the GPS all aligns. Now, I have not decoded Waze and found out what functions they were calling and all that. And I don't mean to indicate that I have. I mean that the latest version of Axiom is bringing that up as an artifact and a timestamp related to Waze. And in the case of here, where minutes are important, I thought it proper that I bring this to the attention of the case as a possible explanation.
As a possible explanation?
As a possible explanation, sir, yes.
The three different clocks that you were talking about, are you aware that those are actually associated to power usage and not applications?
Right, that power usage was directly related to the Waze application.
So it's your testimony that those three clocks apply to the times in Waze? Is that your testimony?
I'm saying that the timestamps were directly related to Waze. It was reported by Axiom when you applied the filter and say, show me are the artifacts related to Waze. These were artifacts that came up related to the Waze bundle. So I guess you need to give it the weight it deserves. Like I said, I've not decoded Waze. That's not something that has been done, but I think we need to consider the 3 minute offset as it applies to giving significance to the Apple Health data and the Waze GPS.
Now, turning to Ms. McCabe's phone again, as far as the search, what you indicated as last view time, are you aware that that is actually related to a time that it was actually focused on the screen as opposed to your interpretation of it?
I'm aware that from that it appears to be the last date, time and date it was focused, and when it was no longer was focused, that's when the timestamp was written. That's what's consistent with the other data on this particular phone on this very specific iOS.
Now, with regard to looking at this search, you mentioned that you used something called an ArtX tool. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Are you aware that's a tool that was actually created by Mr. Ian Whiffen?
Absolutely.
And with regard to this specific issue, as far as how this data is being interpreted from the browser state DB versus the knowledge C database and the wall file and all of those, the P list and all of those other kinds of things, as far as the misinterpretation of the data has then caused Whiffen in further versions of Cellbrite to revise that so that this kind of error can't occur.
Sure, happy to answer that. So Mr. Whiffen's testing was not done with this specific version of the iOS. The iOS has been known to be changing the way this artifact works. To do proper analysis, the researcher that he is, he would have need to work with that same iOS. Now, in regards to the Cellbrite question, they have two versions of the Cellbrite physical analyzer. One is the standard physical analyzer that's been out for several years now, probably is the majority use in the community. It's a tool that takes that raw data and it puts it into a human terms that we can look at and understand and write reports like you've been seeing here. So they have the Cellbrite physical analyzer that's out there. I believe it's 7.68, but don't quote me on that. And then they have a new version that's come out called Insights. And this operates more on a where you can put multiple cases in and that. It's only the Insight versions that they have bothered updating and no longer reporting on that time. Their current physical analyzer program, and I tested this a few days ago, still reports on that search occurring, and that timestamp. So currently, Cellbrite is providing examiners, law enforcement, and people worldwide with two different versions giving two different results. That I can't speak to more than that, other than I've tested that, and I see how those programs are working now.
My question, sir, yes or no, is are you aware that Cellbrite has had to modify their software based on misinterpretation of data as you've done in this case?
Yes, with the asterisk, they updated one of two programs.
Nothing further.
No further questions.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Green, you are all set.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you. Sitting a little too long.
All right, jurors, that's it for today.
Okay,
all right, so jurors, we are going to send you home for the weekend. Please do not discuss this case with anyone. Don't do any independent research or investigation into this case. If you happen to see, hear, or read anything about this case, please disregard it. We are on track. We will get this case next week for your deliberation. See you on the
court. All rise for the jury.
All right, why don't I see counsel regarding scheduling? Jimmy, I'll see you in there.
More raw courtroom coverage of the trial of Karen Reed is coming up from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Press subscribe so you don't miss a minute.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Thank you.